Hello and welcome to this BRC podcast with Deloitte on the end of the transition period. What does it mean for imports and exports for products of animal origin? I'm William Madison. Deloitte have just published a new information paper on this issue, which is a major compliance concern for retailers in the UK and Ireland ahead of the 1st of January deadline for the implementation of the protocol on Ireland and Northern Ireland, and the 1st of April and 1st of July deadlines in terms of Great Britain processes on products of animal origin movements from the EU. Bit of a mouthful. Full third country official controls are expected from the 1st of January on products of animal origin exports from Great Britain to the EU. Today I'm joined by the BRC's Brexit and trade expert, William Bain, together with Christina Tuchilo and Stuart Gilson from Deloitte, two of the authors of the report. So, William, let's set the scene first. Why the different deadlines? What are we still awaiting clarification from in terms of the discussions on Northern Ireland between the UK and the EU in the Joint Committee on Implementing the Protocol and in the trade negotiations between the UK and the EU affecting EU-GB trade? So, is there more UK legislation to come before the 1st of January on these issues?
Thanks, William. Hello. Yes, well, we've got a mixture of both the inevitable consequence of the end of the transition period. And let's remember that that was set by the withdrawal agreement. And of course, there was that ability for the UK or indeed the EU to request an extension to the transition period. But that passed at the end of June 2020. So that is the element here, which brings in the sharp end at the 31st of December to the transition arrangements. And of course, what that means is that in terms of goods going into the EU, then full third country controls become live at that point. What the UK government decided to do in respect of Great Britain was to phase in some of the border and official controls in terms of goods, including products of animal origin from the EU, until in some cases the 1st of April. So the 1st of April becomes the starting point for pre-notification of product of animal origin exports from the EU to GB before the consignments are sent. And then from the 1st of July, we can then expect physical controls on products of animal origin arriving into Great Britain from the EU to be ramped up from the 1st of July. So it's that mixture of the result of the withdrawal agreement, frankly, coming into full operation and also unilateral actions by the UK. So it does lead to this kind of fragmented picture. And of course, as we said, the protocol comes into operation unless something happens between now and the end of December. So the protocol comes into operation on the 1st of January. And so that means that within the UK, goods going from GB to Northern Ireland will require full SPS checks, sanitary and phytosanitary checks. So for products of animal origin, that means documentation, an export health certificate accompanying those goods moving across to Northern Ireland. And of course, that brings with it its own cost and bureaucracy. I mean, it can cost around £200 to get an EHC signed. And also, you need to find a vet to do it. Now, the UK government has introduced some things like a groupage export scheme, GEFS, as it's known, which can be used in respect of goods going from GB to EU or indeed GB to NI. But that doesn't eliminate the cost of export health certificates. It simply reduces it. And I think this is one of the most significant red tape costs that we're seeing as a result of leaving the single market and the customs union, because it really does mount up even outside one of the groupage schemes. So different deadlines, different requirements, and that's why companies are looking for strong advice from their trade bodies and also from those outside with specialist knowledge to guide them through this quite difficult process of compliance.
Thanks, William. So, Christina, how can an importer or an exporter, for that matter, know if their goods are considered products of animal origin?
Thanks, William. So in our experience, determining whether products are considered POAO and are subject to new rules and regulation after Brexit can be quite challenging. POAO are defined as any products derived from animals or that have a close relationship with animals. There are some examples like meat, fish, or dairy, but it's worth noting that also composite products, so products that contain a certain percentage of animal-derived materials, can be considered products of animal origin. So there are some strict rules to follow on that point. There is a specific annex in one of the EU regulations that contains a list of products of animal origin, and those are listed by commodity code. So that's your 8-10 digit code that identifies the product for customs purposes and determines the duty rate as well. UK traders can still use the list on the EU regulation as the basis to check whether the products are considered products of animal origin, but it is likely that the UK will then produce and publish its own legislation at a later stage. It might be beneficial for importers or exporters of products of animal origin to create a database, to go through the list and then create a database of products of animal origin in their master data, in their system, just to make sure that each product that requires some form of compliance or export health certificates, as William was saying, is flagged and the appropriate processes can be followed.
So what are the new rules for importing products of animal origin into Great Britain at the end of the transition period? And do these apply to exports from GB to EU as well?
That's a great question. As William was saying, intra-EU movements, so movements between the UK and the EU 27, will now become imports and exports. And new rules on products of animal origin will apply to these imports and exports, and will materially affect the customs clearance process, so the process to raise customs declarations at the border, and therefore they might impact the supply chain. The rules are fairly similar for imports and for exports, but let's start with the imports. The UK government has announced, again, as William was saying, a sort of a staggered approach to the implementation of the new regulations on products of animal origin, and the 3 key dates are the 1st of January, that's the Brexit date, the 1st of April, and the 1st of July. Nothing really changes on the 1st of January, except if products are subject to additional trade remedies or safeguarding measures. In that case, those products will need to be pre-notified. But from the 1st of April, all products of animal origin will need to be pre-notified. And there's a new system to do that, that's called IPAS, where these export health certificates that the shipper needs to produce and that need to accompany the shipment needs to be pre-lodged. That needs to be done 24 hours ahead of arrival in the UK. And from the 1st of April, there will be documentary checks. That means the export health certificates will be inspected, but not the products themselves. However, from the 1st of July, the standard product of animal origin process will apply. So that is the same process that applies today to imports from the rest of the world for products of animal origin, together with the lodgement of the export health certificate, the pre-notification on IPAS. There will be physical inspections and identity checks. Those will be done at the border control posts by port health authorities with supervision from the animal and plant health agencies. So port health and the animal and plant health agency employ official veterinarians at the port to carry out these checks. for exports, so movements from the UK to the EU27, the rules, broadly speaking, are very similar. All future exports will require an export health certificate and will need to be routed via a border control post in the EU. The EU's notification system is not IPAVS, but it's TRACES. But again, consignments need to be pre-notified. The big difference between the approach of the UK and the EU is that all new requirements for imports into the EU will apply from day one, from the 1st of January. So there's no staggered approach.
So Stu, listeners may have heard about a new system called IPA-FFS. Can you give us a little bit of background about what its purpose is?
Hi, William. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, so IPAF stands for the Import of Animal Products, Food and Feed System. And it's the UK's sort of new system for notifying government authorities like AFA and Port Health of imports of POAO and other animal-related products. For POAO, notifications created on there are also known as CHEDPs, because it stands for the Common Health Entry Document for products, animal products, I believe. So many acronyms, hard to remember.
But, it is quite confusing.
Yeah. And each notification is made up of two parts. So the first part basically contains all the details of the consignment. So it'd be like the ETA of when it's due to arrive in the UK, the country of origin, so where the goods are from, and sort of more specific sort of species details about the sort of animal product in the goods. And also sort of some standard customs data like commodity codes, weight, and the mode of transport as well. And then the second part is basically completed by the government authority, and it contains the results of the checks that are performed when the goods arrive at the UK BCP for inspection. And the government authority will sort of update the CHEDP with the outcomes of the checks, and the user can go into the IPAF system and basically see those results. And at the same time, they'll be alerted if there's any issues, and they need to provide some additional information or documentation, and they can sort of proceed from there. I think, as Christina mentioned, in most cases, the notifications need to be sent at least 24 hours before the consignment's due to arrive in the UK. But you can actually, if you're really organised, you can lodge it up to 30 days in advance. So in some cases, it might be that you have some of the information at hand ready. So you could sort of, if you like, you can start your notification on the IPAF system and up to 30 days in advance, and then and finish it off once you've got the remaining information, such as the ETA. So I think a big thing, as it's probably going to echo throughout this podcast really, but it's very important for importers to decide who is going to make these notifications from the 1st of April. That is, traders or importers can do it themselves in-house. But if they do want to do that, there's a sort of a bit of a setup process to go through to make sure you can access the IPAF system. I believe you need to link your business's sort of government gateway account to a new module within the DEFRA system on the Gov site. There's like an IPAF module that they need to set themselves up with. And there's details on how to do that online. But alternatively, I think William mentioned this earlier as well, traders can reach out to like a customs agent or a freight forwarder, and they can complete these notifications on their behalf. So I guess just a few things to consider for both of those. It's definitely worth noting that sort of hiring a third party, the costs for raising notifications can vary depending on sort of the complexity of the product that's being brought in, and also where those goods are coming from. But at the same time, if a business is considering doing it in-house, they should definitely consider their current capacity and also the expected volumes of the goods they're bringing in before making a decision.
So to that point, who's actually going to be responsible for raising export health certificates that are kind of products of animal origin?
Yeah, sure. That's a good question. So Christina and William mentioned that earlier about the export health certificates. From the 1st of April, in order to import EU products of animal origin into the UK, all these consignments need to be accompanied by an export health certificate. So there's an individual health certificate required for each species or type of product that's being imported. and it will be required to accompany the consignment during transport. And the importer should also have a copy of that certificate, because that has a lot of the information you're going to need to create the IPAF notification, and that needs to be done prior to the arrival in the UK. So I'd say typically, in terms of responsibility, it's the exporters or suppliers who will apply for the health certificate, and they'll need to ensure that it's approved in the product's official country of origin. And this would normally be approved, this is being endorsed by a veterinary official, and that can be done either at the supplier premises or at an appointed location in that country. It's essential for UK businesses to communicate with their EU suppliers and just make sure the process is in place to obtain these export health certificates, and especially that it can be done in a timely manner so that any POAO shipments destined for the UK don't suffer from any delays.
So, William, turning to you now, why are these issues of such key importance for retailers and their suppliers in the UK and Ireland?
Well, it's down to time and cost, because as we said, there are going to be sort of specific timelines before your consignment leaves either the EU to come to GB or vice versa. But this is particularly an issue in terms of movements from GB to NI. And often if you have mixed or composite loads with many different products, and remember, you know, as we talked about earlier, a product of animal origin can be anything from, you know, a sirloin steak to a cake mix with dried milk or egg within it. So vast range of products in between either end of that spectrum. So it is the time involved in getting veterinary signatures, the time involved in being able to pre-notify before your load is assembled. And that's why, in terms of the supply chains going from GB to NI, we have been calling for and working with the UK government and the European Commission, and indeed DERA in Northern Ireland, to try and come up with a solution that reflects the reality of what this means for those supply chains, and the need to have a little more flexibility in terms of how the protocol on Ireland, Northern Ireland is actually implemented, in terms of trying to make more manageable the issue of request for EHCs. So I think that is the real worry for members, is being able to comply with this. I think that is the key concern at this point. Now we know there was the inbound easement for 4 months in some case and 6 months in others, in terms of certain goods coming into Great Britain. But of course, in terms of Northern Ireland, as we said earlier, as things stand, at the time we're speaking on this podcast, there is a hard deadline of the 1st of January. So these deadlines are really pressing for retailers at this point.
So Stuart, how can retailers prepare their products of animal origin supply chains for the imminent new cross-border trading rules?
So a few key considerations, I'd say, are definitely kind of as I touched on earlier, but appointing, like making sure you have an appointed veterinary official who's going to issue the export health certificates and endorse those for the shipments from the UK to the EU, and just generally understanding how that sort of export health certificate process is going to work and the effect it's going to have on your current sort of physical packing and dispatch process. Definitely another thing is to consider the increased costs that this process brings in, due to the veterinary fees for endorsing the health certificates and also any port charges which are incurred at the border inspection posts. Also, a very key one is that there's a limited number of border control posts in the UK, and I believe they are building more, but at the moment each have varying capabilities, and it means that not every location in the UK is actually capable of checking POAO consignments. There's certainly major ports that are able to do this, such as Felixstowe, Southampton, and if you're bringing anything by air freight, Heathrow Airport is a good example. But if the port you plan on importing POAO does not have the ability to handle these goods, it may be worth considering changing your shipping routes, certainly to reduce the lead times and ensure customs compliance. There's details online about all the ports and the different BCPs and what services they can offer, so that can all be found online. I guess another thing, I guess I brought it up earlier in terms of traders raising the notifications in-house. IPAF actually have released a test environment where you can submit practice notifications. So this would be very useful for training. So it's definitely something to take advantage of if you are considering doing this in-house. And there's details on how to access that system on the government's IPAF page. Finally, I guess, just discussing the new POA requirements with your EU suppliers, just to get that communication going if it's not already started, because it's just essential to know that everything will be ready and that they'll be able to provide you with the relevant documentation and that your delivery of your goods will not be impacted.
And Christina, so obviously a lot of this is going to be, you know, it's very important for UK retailers and they're probably going to want to find out more. So do you have any tips for finding out more information on the topic?
Absolutely. So all the information published by the government is on gov.uk, but also on the Food Standards Agency's website. Another thing to check, as Stu was saying, is to identify which port or airport you're going to be using for your imports and exports going forward, and check the Port Health Authority's webpage for more detailed information.
And of course, you can access the BRC Brexit Hub for all of the latest guidance relevant to your company at brc.org.uk/Brexit. And also check out the new Deloitte paper on products of animal origin there too. I want to say a big thank you to William, Stu and Christina. Thanks everyone for their insight, and also to you, the listener. Thank you. Thanks for listening. And until next time, it's goodbye from us.